3, 1, 2, 3. Y'all hear me okay? That's good. Larry, I hear it now. You know, God lets you meet famous people. You know that? I never do ask either. I don't know. I was over there in Austria the other day. And this fellow walks up to me in a meeting. Gave me this little card right here. He's a gold medal in the Olympics fellow. And I thought, now what can I do for that fellow, I reckon? You know what he needed? He needed a touch of heaven. Isn't that nice? It's pretty nice. To me, it's nice. Y'all want to meet Miss Hogan again? Would that be good? I've had a pretty eventful day. Y'all had an eventful day? I got to talk to a prince a while ago. Called me on my phone, talked to me. That's a good day. They're trying to shuffle me a few million dollars, and I told them, go right ahead, it's okay. That'll do, won't it? I just need it to happen, just like everybody else. How y'all, good? All right, y'all ready? So am I. Find myself ready. So we'll turn over to Acts chapter 19. I found a new verse I want to share with you. Verse 11. I'm gonna be talking a little bit about there's something I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in speaking in tongues and casting out devils. Because the Bible says it, that's why. Now I understand that there are men voting God out of these Pentecostal denominations and won't let you speak in tongues. Won't let you prophesy. Well, let me tell you what they're listening to. They're listening to the devil. And we're going to let God move in our hearts. We're going to let the Holy Ghost touch us. Those young ladies up here prophesying and carrying on a while ago, that's the way life's supposed to be. That's just how it's supposed to be when you go to church. The Holy Ghost is supposed to move. That's why we meet. It isn't a feast. I can do that at the house. And my wife's the best cook they ever was, so I'm all right. We come down here to feast on the Holy Ghost. You hear me? Hello? You know, I don't care a thing about you not believing that. It don't make no difference. It's who God is, and that's what he wants to do. It ain't what we do in my church, so this ain't your church. Holy Ghost. Woo-hoo! I decided I was going to go ahead and preach. Is that all right? And I found this verse I want to share with you right here. I'm going to need that water right away, Miss Hogan. I apologize. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 said, God did. Say it again with me. God did. Say it again. God. It's not men doing these things. It's God's mercy that he allots to people. And it's really as fascinating. I'm telling you, I get traipsed around the whole planet. I've been in all the continents. I preach to everybody, everywhere. And it's all these tribes and all these different colored people. Everybody thinks they're smarter and better than everybody else. I couldn't find out heaven's the one that's in charge. That's sure right. So God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs, towels, aprons, which touched his skin, was carried away and put upon the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out. So if you brought your cloth or apron or towel or handkerchief or coat or shoestring or whatever you got, bring it right on up here and put it down up here. Because the Holy Ghost, these things are happening, are pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff going on. I want to just share with you. Now, this is not a Starbucks, so let's don't just go everybody talking. It's my turn. All right, thank you. So, Holy Ghost, everybody good? Come on, Holy Ghost. Yeah, there's some good things happening in my life, and I'm happy about that. One of the good things that happened, when I was first in the mission field, I've been in the mission field my whole life now. It's been a lot longer than I was born, than I was in Louisiana, Texas, or everywhere else I was lived and preached. And I didn't cover up my walking. That's all right. I'll just kick it off. No, ma'am, I'm good. I get my foot at work. But when I went out in this village one evening, and there was this little child out there about 4 years old. And gotta have a walkway. And so that's all right. I won't fall down, I don't think. If I do, it'd be a funny joke, wouldn't it? Holy Ghost. There was this kid out there, deaf and dumb and all that, and I'd never seen the power of God the way I was seeing it with these Indians. There was, I don't know, hundreds of them. I don't think it was 1,000, but there was a stack of them out there in this village. And we was worshiping God, and I was new and didn't speak the language very well at that time, and I couldn't speak any Nahuatl then. And, boy, God moved, and they brought this deaf and dumb little boy up there. I don't know. I just knew it was going to happen. And I knelt down there and prayed, and nothing happened. You know, and it disappointed me. And there's lots of disappointments along the way. There's things that I think should happen, don't. There's things that I think shouldn't happen, does. And there's all sorts of interesting opportunities for faith going along with this life I'm walking down through. And I went home. I was disappointed. I saw the fire of God. I saw it with my own eyes. But I didn't see that little kid healed. And so, it really disappointed me. And a number of years later, I was out in another village. And it was almost the same exact scenario. We weren't very far from the original place. That was like 25 or 27 years later. And I was in it. Let me think about it here, how close that was. I bet it wasn't 50 miles away. Probably less than that, probably 40. Same mountain range, Sierra Madre Oriental. And that's my home, the mountains. Las Huastecas Potosina, las Huastecas Veracruzana, las Huastecas Hidalguense. That's where I live. And that takes in lots of states. It was pretty radical. I don't know what your opinion of it would be, and honestly don't care. But what I've noticed about y'all's type of people, Americans, is that you have everything under control. When it gets out of control, you don't like it anymore. And so, therefore, whenever God does something you don't like, you move on and don't let God back. And so I've decided in my life that when God does something, we're going to try to let him do it all he wants to. And so what that means is services get really long sometimes. And boy, we've noticed over time that this power comes in waves. It's just like an ocean. We've always run out of energy and quit and went home. But the power of God, it just keeps coming in waves. You don't see it, you don't know it's there, and it just hits you. Wave after wave. It's awesome to me. I like it. And we was in one of these meetings like that, and this family comes up. They're Hinti Indígena. They're Indian folks, and they came up. It's a whole stack of them. And they was talking to me, but I couldn't hear them because in these services, it's pretty wild. You can't hear. It's loud also. It's not music. It's people. When God's touched them, the flesh can't take the anointing, I'm telling you. The presence of God is pretty outside of our boundaries. And so it gets loud. Strange things happen, like Jesus manifesting to people, people seeing angels, seeing hosts, seeing things around us, and it gets pretty noisy, is what I'm saying. And I couldn't hear these folks. I didn't know what they were saying, but they was pointing to this little kid. So I grabbed this little kid. You know, and that's what I do. I'm into people. I'm not into manifestations. I like them. I'm around them every day of my life. I preach. Every time I preach the gospel, manifestations happen. Some of them's good, most of them. Some of them's interesting. And I'm sitting there praying for this kid, right? He's a little bitty guy, probably, I don't know, 6-7 years old. All of a sudden, man, he ran back, smacked me right in the face. No. You know, I'm not like you. I'm not into brats. I don't like them. They're irritating. They're annoying. And so I pretty much don't like that. And so he's smacking me. Now he's going off pretty good. Then I said, all right, dude, you know. I still can't hear. He just screaming. He run off. Well, it comes, after a while, the parents come back and they're apologizing to me. You know, and I'm accepting it. You know, I'm beat up, but I'm accepting their apology. And now listen to this. This is some like 27 years later. I'm close to the same area. And almost the same scenario. The kid was born deaf and dumb. And the reason he was beating me up is because God opened his ears and he heard noise for the first time, which we call sound. And it scared him real bad, so he was getting away from me. He ran off in the mountain, in the woods. And so the parents had to go out there and get him, brought him back. But it was a pretty phenomenal miracle that somebody born deaf and dumb, God opened their ears and loosed their tongue. So what I'm saying is we need to be faithful. These things we find to do like this here, it doesn't seem very logical. It seems like, why would God do that? And you're right. I don't know why. I don't have the answer. I just know that he did it for Paul. I saw it one day and thought, wow, I wonder, because he's the same God that got me born again that was in the same time Paul was alive. So I wonder if he's the same God now that would do what, and he started doing stuff, so I like it. You follow me? So I need you to understand it's got to do with obedience. Obedience is the ticket. It's not how it seems to you or what you think about it or what anybody around you thinks about it. It's about obeying the Holy Ghost. Follow me? Because eventually, if you allow him to touch you, he will. All right? Now, let's go back over to Hebrews because y'all never did let me get finished with this last night. So we're going to go ahead and read it before I get started telling any stories and stuff, because I'm going to get wrapped up in this. And I'll just get lost. I don't even try not to get lost. All right, I have a really good sermon up here. It's awesome. It's got 3 or 4 points, and they're very necessary, but the odds of me finishing it is probably 0. I just won't do it. I don't know. I just get tired of talking after a while and quit. So here we go. Ready? I know y'all theologians are sitting here. It's very important to have the right kind of pulpit etiquette and do, you know, structure and all that. I just don't get into that. I get into the Word of God and Jesus. So there you go. All right. So verse 11 says, "Let us therefore be zealous." Remember, we were talking about that last night. Let's put it all in a row here. Zealous. Let's exert our. Now this is amplified. Let's exert ourselves. Let's strive diligently to enter the rest of God. Most Christians nowadays are not walking in peace. You're walking in an orchestrated government environment of stress. That's the way they're controlling you. And so I want to be controlled by the Holy Ghost, so I exempt myself from the stress, man-made opportunities of defeat. I go with the Holy Ghost. All right? I'm blessed. I've got out of Babylon, and I'm not going back. Babylon is the Visa, the MasterCard, the Ford credit, the GMC, GMAC, or whatever it is thing, the Dodge, whatever their name is, the house people that want me paying 3 times what my house is worth to them while they drive a Maserati and live in sin. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be like you. I don't think it's healthy. I think it's stressful, and I don't need it. I think I need the Holy Ghost. So my wife and I made a decision 30 years ago or something that we was getting out, and we got out, and we've been out ever since. And you can live in life I actually do have, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 of them platinum supercharged things. But my wife and I, but we don't owe any money. We're running 1,000 churches. We travel the entire world, and we don't owe a penny. You hear what I said to you? That's why it's easy for me to tell you the truth. Because you're not going to go out here and find somebody that can put pressure on me to make me bend to your way of doing things. I'm going to read the Word of God, and that's how I'm going to live my life. Isn't that nice? That seems nice, doesn't it? Holy Ghost. So, rest. We need the rest of God. We need to be zealous. We need to be exert ourselves and strive. See, strife is good if you're striving to seek God. If your goal is to be like heaven, then striving for it's okay. Otherwise, it's not okay. All right. And experiencing the Holy Ghost, because we don't want to fall to unbelief and disobedience, do we? Hello, do we? All right. For the Word of God is alive and powerful, making it active and operative, energizing and effective. That's as far as I made it last night. But I want to say a little bit more, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. There's not an opportunity out there that can defeat the Word of God. There is nothing that you can present to me that God can't defeat. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There's no plague. There's no war. There's no zealots from other religions. There's no I have been with all the known religions, and I've watched God defeat all the great. I'm not going to go out here and bash them, but I've been in Asia. I've been in the Middle East. I went to Pakistan before this last big barrage of energy they're putting out over there. And we, in a week's time, we saw 5,200 and some odd Muslims saved in Pakistan, Islamabad in Lahore, Pakistan. Open air meetings. 30 caliber machine guns going off and all this all around us, tracers, the whole deal. And heaven just healing people by the hundreds, Muslims. You hear me? Went to Asia. I'm going right back over there in a few weeks. We'll be back in right over there by China, up in the Himalayas. There's these thousands of pastors. God's pouring out His Spirit amongst the Buddhist and the Hindi people. Hindus, and I like to be part of that. It's happy for me to be part of that. All the great, powerful religions, the Spirit of God that's in us, the power of the Word of God, the alive gospel that's in us cannot be defeated. I was in a maximum security prison in Germany. It's where they take all these people that they gather up from different parts of the world that are assassins and that's hired by other nations. They put them in this thing. And I was invited to preach there. And there was, I don't know, 400 or 500 inmates in there. And they stripped us completely and let me in. And I went in there. And there was a guy that was a hired assassin by all the governments that had got taken down, and one of our groups got him, and they shot him with an M16, and he's diced up pretty good. And he was all froze up because of the bullet wounds and that. And he's in there and listening. Now, these people are serious. Now, I don't have how to describe to you how serious these folks are. Murder is, they think about murder like you think about eating a sandwich. I mean, it's just something you have to do. And so I'm sitting there, and this guy says to me, he says, I don't believe that. I know that. I don't know his case yet, because I didn't know who he was, because they had all these people in their own individual boxes chained on everywhere. They were chained everywhere. And he says to me, I don't believe that. And I said, sir, I honestly don't care what you believe. I came here with threat of life on me. You guys are experts. Y'all are assassins. There's nothing I can do. If you guys get out of here and decide to take me out, you can. That's what you do. Well, let me tell you, since you're in chains and I'm not, let me tell you that you're a coward. I just want to tell you that. And hopefully you don't break out of here. This is what happened. He said, so, I don't know how come he could speak such good English. He spoke several languages, I found out later, and he was this great assassin. He was all these things that you see on these movies. That's who he was. But they got him, you see. And he was all froze up on this side because of the M16s that got him. And he said, if your God is real, can he fix me? I said, yes, he can. He sure can. He said, will he do it right now? I said, it sure would be nice for me if he did. I said, I'll tell you that. Now listen, this guy's not born again. He's a murderer. He is a hired gun. He has no thought of life. To him, life doesn't have value. What has value is whatever currency he has the most of and what fun he's having at the time. And I went up there, and the guards were with me, and I laid my hands on this guy, and in front of all of us, I was just as amazed as everybody else was. When I touched this guy, bones started popping and snapping, and God, I don't know how he did it. I don't have an answer for you. All I know is this murdering fella, God healed him. And now watch. And I'm sitting there just bug-eyed that God would do that. Because, you know, to my theology, he just slaughtered it. Because I don't see why he would do that. Why he would do that? I don't know why. Still don't know why. But it was pretty awesome to me. It got me off the hook. You know what else happened? Does anybody know? He said to me, I've never seen... Now, watch what he said to me. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I said, let me tell you this, sir. I apologize to you on behalf of the kingdom of God. That I'm the first person you've ever met that would tell you the truth. I'm sorry. He said, now this Jesus that just healed me, does he have anything else he can do for me? I said, he does. As a matter of fact, he does. And that man got born again right there. Isn't that nice? Good deal. That's a good deal. All right, so what do you make of that? All right, now, the Word of God's alive. I on purpose went in that place. But see, God had to get me to Europe first. Then he had to get me to accept to go into a maximum security prison. And then he had to give me the courage to throw down with those guys. Because that's not always the easiest thing to do. When somebody's especially good as these boys are. But see, the Word of God is what's powerful. It's not you. It's not the lack. See, most of you sitting here, you could probably look at me and say, maybe. Because I'm so aggressive and confident and outgoing and look at you and don't back down, that kind of a thing. Kind of has a dominant effect on people. But you know what? Everything in you that you feel that's lack or that you don't have in operation or that's not in operative according to the Word of God, you listen to me. That's God's job. You are never going to be all right and ready. There's not enough time to prepare you because nearly everybody I've ever met is so negative and so abused and so selfish that you don't think God would use you. And you know what? You are wrong. We are who he loves. And who he chooses to use. It's the weirdest thing. I wouldn't. But he does. I'm serious. All right, now let's go to another verse. Ready? Finally to get out of Hebrews two nights in a row here. There is something I'm trying to get across. I am good at this. Let's go ahead with John 14 first. You remember last night I told you about the guy in the garbage dump? Remember that? Some of y'all was here. I don't know. Every now and then I get these ideas, urges. I don't know what I would really call it. Well, I don't know what you'd call it. But I just get these ideas come to me to do that they seem really weird to me. So, and something I wouldn't normally think of on my own to do, so I think it must be God. Because He's the one that's weird. He's the one that uses people that have no sense or logic. Like a man that wears camel hair girdle and runs around in long hair in the desert named John and eats locusts. Now, I mean, who would do that? Who would use that guy? He's a wacko. But he's the guy that God chose to usher in the Christ. Isn't that amazing? I'm serious. So I know that in our day and time, we wouldn't choose the right people to usher in Jesus. And then when Jesus got here, we wouldn't let Him have the pulpit because he don't meet our criteria. He don't look right. He don't act right. He don't say the right words. He don't dress right. And he grows a beard, and I guess he did. And so anyway, y'all in John 14 yet? Because, see, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories now that have to do with destiny. That you just, my life is not happenstance. Everything I do, every step that's taken, every motion, God planned it a long time ago. If I can stay submitted to the Holy Ghost, I can get things done that he is orchestrating. Understand? Now I may go about it, here's what I've always known. I've always known this. I'm not the best. The class that I went to the mission field with 33 years ago, all of them left. The most eloquent, the most gifted, the most financially endowed people, the ones with the greater opportunities for success, all of them have gone and long since been gone. I'm all that's left. The reason I'm successful is I stayed. I was invited to dance and I stayed through the whole party. And I'm not leaving. I'm just not. So, this fellow, I told y'all a little bit about him last night. He is one of my best friends. I don't consider friendship as an acquaintance. To me, it takes a long time to become friends with somebody. And there are people that's loyal. There are people that's faithful. They're diligent. They have people that understand relationship. They're disciplined. They're the things that are new that we're finding in the Bible here. They can see past their own problems and see to the kingdom of God. All right, now, this young man, I got a hold of his hand, pulled him up out of that garbage dump. I didn't know he was living in a cardboard box with his wife. I saw a beggar. God was sure he was a king. Now, 27 years later, he is a king. He's got all these businesses going. He's wealthy for an Indian. He has all these vehicles, houses, lands. He's an amazing guy. Got lots on the ball. Plus he runs 170 some odd of our churches. He's an amazing guy, really sharp, and I like him a lot. But because of the Holy Ghost, things happen in people's lives. For instance, my wife and I, we go down to Mexico, and she's a mother, you know, as well as my wife, and she's interested in how are we going to educate our kids, because I'm all this wild energy and zeal and all this, and I'm running us up to the mountains. I'm going as far away from civilization as I possibly can find. I'm going out to where there's never been ever an American, and there's never been ever a Christian. And this is where I'm going to plant my flag and build a kingdom. I'm going to take it from the demon, and I will possess it. She, on the other hand, thought, how are we going to feed our kids and how are we going to educate them? And I looked at her like, who cares? Well, the deal is, she does. You know, she's a mama. Then I'm going to have to be really easy with these mamas because there's a stack of them up in here tonight. And I'm going to have to be really cautious with the grandmas because I'm married to one of them. And they're really dangerous, these grandmas. There ain't anything I fear. I've been in every continent except a grandma or a mama. They're dangerous. So, this mama here says to me, because here's what God will do for you. Now, I did not have an answer. Men, if you've been married anything longer than 10 years, you know if I didn't have something to answer her, I am in serious trouble. Guys, 10 or younger, you'll figure it out soon enough. You don't go there without an answer. So, I went to her with the thing that works for me. God will take care of it. But she's just looking at me. Okay, that's great. How you reckon he's going to do that? And I go, I don't have a clue. Well, that's the wrong answer. So, I started teaching my kids myself. Had two at the time. We've had two more since. Adopted them. And so then about a couple of years go by, and she's not in doubt, but she's a mother, and those are different things. Understand? Caring for somebody and doubting whether God's going to move are two different options. And you got to figure that out in life. And so this pastor comes down to our work, you know, and I'm mountains guy, Indians And so we come home one night, bounced in after, you know, 2 a.m. or something. I'm, yes, we got a village open. Wow. So he asked a question to my wife because she's always been up. She never, when we come in, ladies are always there. They take care of us. It's a blessing. Man, what a wow. The whole way it's been that way. Never a word, never, I've never, ever received negative from her. The whole way. It's wonderful. It's amazing. So, because caring for somebody is not negative, that's positive. It's not doubt, it's faith. A mama's faith that she needs to take care of her child. And so you have to realize those things, right? All right, so this pastor says to her, so how y'all getting schooling for your kids? I just looked at her. Because I am the teacher and the principal and everything, and we don't have any curriculum. And that's highly illegal. So, oh boy, this is going to get me in some serious trouble. But you see, if you want destiny in your life, you have to be willing to follow the Holy Ghost. You have to be willing to take challenges like education, not having the answers. You have to be willing to walk where no one around you has ever walked before. And you don't have a clue as to how to get it done, but God is asking you, compelling you, to believe the power of His Word, to walk in rest while all of this is happening. Woo! She said, right now David's the teacher. He just turned and looked at me. I said, how is it? He said, well, this is what their church from up here in Missouri. He said, this is what we're going to do. We're an ACE program church, and we're going to, what we'll do is we'll have your kids tested, and we'll provide year by year their education. My wife just started crying. It was wonderful. I didn't have, and I'm just going, where did that come from? But see, when you follow the Holy Ghost, and it is out of some people's way is right, and out of some people's logic and understanding, but faith will bring it to you. Destiny will cause things that you don't have to attach themselves to you. If you can follow God. If you can follow God. And not pressure, even from her. I take her pressure. I know that her pressure is logic for faith, not for somebody else's opinion. It's for the good of the work. The work meaning our churches, our people that God's given to us. You understand? So life started going for us, and I was amazed. And our kid, now listen, this is amazing. When they tested our kids, they tested a year ahead of themselves. Both of them did. See? When they finally graduated, my son, my oldest son, graduated in the top 1,000 students in the entire United States. So you see, even though I didn't have the answer, God did. But getting her to be all right with my faith is the problem, isn't it? But you see, 30-something years later, she trusts me now. Because I have never, ever lied to her. It's always worked out. Wow. Now, how did you do that? Well, I don't have a clue. I know that destiny's involved. I know that faithfulness is involved. I know that faith is involved. I know that Jesus' mercy and grace is the primary ingredients. You understand? All right, now watch this. So, therefore, the people around me that I deal with, even though I don't talk about it on a daily basis, or I don't even talk about it in some of our schools we have, but it's natural event. It's part of the package in our work. The guy from the garbage dump, the beggar who is now a king, as he started his walk in God, he was the beggar at first. They start having children. God starts blessing them. Their crops start multiplying. Their pigs, hogs start giving instead of having five and four die and you only get one a year. Started giving 15, 20 piglets. That ain't even legal. And all of them making it in their on the corn. Instead of getting one ear of corn on the crop, you get two. This is the penalty for getting born again. The gospel starts working for you. Destiny starts being applied to your life. Faith energizes and becomes operative. The word of God happens to you. Do you hear me? I'm not speaking Greek, but I am speaking faith. His oldest boy grew up. Years go by. He's been with us in thousands of services now. He became like my own son. He was an Indian. He went to school. The teachers noticed him like they did Joseph, that he was different. There was something about him. And they brought him to attention to somebody that can do something about gifted people. He finally made it to the governor of our state. The governor paid for his education the whole way. I didn't know why, but then I found out that they wanted him. But they weren't the only ones. Our country, the great United States of America, searches the whole world for gifted people. Our CIA brought this kid in. One of our Indians. Figure that. Started working with this kid. Started wanting to use him. He comes home one day speaking English. First Indian I knew that's done that. He comes talking to us and telling us how he likes pizza and hamburgers. And we just look at him. Where's he getting that? Because I don't allow us to take America to them. I only allow us to take Jesus to them. Did you hear that? You need to hear that again. You don't need to take anybody America. What you're doing ain't working. What you need to do is take people Jesus. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. You're right. I'm an indigenous person. And so, he comes home one day and he's been offered this fascinating job. We got tangled up with some religious spirits. And they decided they was going to kill us all. So we decided that it was great if they did. All of a sudden, these police come and this army comes and they stood with us. That came from this kid that had raised up. Do you understand? And that's all great, but it was unusual. And we don't like that. We don't want to be delivered by the man's guns. We want to be delivered by the hand of God. So, this kid, now listen to me. It's a long story, and it's complicated, but it all has to do with destiny. This kid comes home, he graduated, he's fixed to be gone off to the United States and then inevitably to Europe to learn different languages because he's a gifted kid. See, these gifts come from the Holy Ghost. God sent me from where I was at in the swamp over there and sent me down here. I preach Jesus. My personal life has all this stuff in it. But and even though I don't go around and just, here, you need this, here, you need this, it doesn't have to do with me. God's with me. Angelic hosts, legions of God's power, anointing, Spirit of the Lord is rampant, doing stuff, taking people, changing lives, and fixing all their problems. Just because he likes to. For you knuckleheads that think you can do it on your own, watch this. Help yourself. I speak just like you do. Help your ever-loving self. You know what? In that same brick wall that your parents hit, that your grandparents hit, that your great-grandparents hit, it's right ahead of you. Go ahead. I'm out. I don't like that wall. I saw that wall all them people hit, and I told Ms. Hogan, that wall there is not for us. We're out. We bailed. And that great Holy Ghost liked that. And it has spread now to these Indian nations. And now watch this. He comes back one day. I mean, this kid is educated. He is prime. He is cream of the crop. He is wow. For anybody, he would be wow. And he went to one of our services with us, and he starts weeping. And everybody's just looking at him. Because he now is an outsider now. He's been changed. He's been turned. He's not one of us anymore. You understand? But the Holy Ghost needs him. And I thank y'all and y'all's great American economy for educating him. Thank you very much. But we didn't lose him. The Holy Ghost says, come home. So he comes there and knelt down and washed all of our feet with tears, said how he apologizes for listening to the way of the world. Some of y'all should take heed to that. And he said, I'm coming back and I'm going to work with my people. You know, education is wonderful, but it don't make you full of the Holy Ghost. Gifts are great, but it don't give you rights in the kingdom of God. All right? So we started working with this kid again, and he gets married to one of these high mountain people. God comes on him. Things are moving. The Spirit of God's moving through his life, and it's a joy to watch him desarrollarse. All right? to come forth and be the man of God he's supposed to be from the birth, from the day he was born. All right. So far, we hadn't had any traumatic events in his life. He's just a golden child. He gets married. He has a child. That's wonderful. I'm liking what I'm seeing. This is good. The more he's tied down to responsibility, the better I like it. At the same exact time, which was May, 2 years, this will be 3 years in May, right, that Daisy was born on the 26th or 7th. There was a little girl born in Mexico City. She's an Indian people in Mexico. And anyway, she made her way to my hands. So we adopted her. She's awesome. She's the same age as this boy's first child. Have y'all heard of a thing called H1N1? It went through us first. We tested it for y'all. It's a very powerful deal. It's a murderer. All right. So, it hit us, slaughtered thousands of people around us. Before y'all found out about it, that it was a plague. And one of the people that got hit was this golden child's baby. Now, everything I know about the gospel, this boy has it going for him. His baby dying is just a blip on the screen. Should be. I was gone preaching. I don't remember. I was in Europe somewhere. I get a phone call. Moses' baby's dead. I mean, it flips you out. I couldn't believe it. That's not possible. This is the scenario, the way I've seen God do for 30-something years. This is not God. So I got the best part of our team, men that are courageous in valor and faith. The men you want to put in the front when the fiercest battle is on and the greatest power of hell has been unleashed. These are the men you put in battle first to engage. And I'm usually alongside of them, you see. And I said, you make it so. And it doesn't matter how long you have to stay. They stayed and prayed for 12 hours. The baby did not come back. We lost. I don't like that. I told you last night. I am accustomed to winning. Losing is an irritating event. I like to win. I'm a winner. But losing is necessary, just like winning. The reason I'm so good at my job is because I can take losing the same as I take winning. Now you think about that statement for a while. When you can take losing like you can take winning, and they mean the same to you, you will be successful. So we buried the child. And we keep going. I'm antsy to get home. I want to get this kid by the front shirt. I want to hold him. I want to reassure him that what happened to him is legal. And that we will be safe. God is not forgotten. He is not angry. He does not hate us. We are in the hands of a king that loves us. In this energy that's turned on us, we will turn it into victory. See? You're not used to somebody talking to you like that. You're used to people calling you and telling you, you know, somebody did something wrong, some door was open, something happened, something. Let me tell you something. It don't matter. It matters that Jesus is King. You will not waste time and energy trying to figure out and boil it all up and constantly be in a state of an uproar. What'd you do wrong? I did. I prayed. I fasted. I read. I did. I moved. I meditated. You know what? Cálmate, chicos. Calm down. We're going to be all right. It don't matter what's against you, what set itself against you, what's encamped against you, how much you've lost, how much time has been lost. Jesus is King. Hallelujah. Now, as the process of time, I got back, I went, I did my thing, I went out there, I had the meal with them. Because to them, unless I come and sit with one of my leaders in an event of this caliber and I don't have a meal with them, it's not settled. It's important to be valuable to people. As in, it's important to recognize your value to other people and use it wisely. So I go out, I eat a meal with them, and I take this boy and I hold him and I tell him, listen to me. I'm sorry for your loss. Now look at me, son. That's the casualties of war. Now we must keep going. Now see, you don't like that. I'm the kind of a person you think you don't want until the chips fall. And then you will need a backbone around you. You will need somebody that understands how to get a hold of God and have faith. And when things do not go our way, know how to keep going our way. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you right now how to do it. You want to hear it? Ready? Now watch, because this story ain't over. And then there's one more. So get ready to be patient. John 14, there's a verse here. Everybody likes it, but listen to this. Jesus said, what did he say? I am the way. Verse 6. I am the truth. I am the life. You know what? In events of victory and of success, Jesus is the way. In the exact moment of defeat is when you need to raise your hands and say, Jesus is the way. Because the odds are really high that if you lost one round, the demons that are set forth against you are pretty enthused that you'll probably lose round two. And they're coming back for round two. Don't speak that on me. I'm not. I'm talking to you about how life is to you. You all have to live life, and it don't matter. You can't live in a kookaburra somewhere hidden in a patch. You understand that? You've got to get out here and breathe, son. And when you do, you're gonna bring about stress. It's coming. That's why you need rest. That's why you need to walk in the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to be free to walk down the street, shekatala, speaking in tongues, enjoying the great Holy Ghost. Because as life goes on and as stress eases up on you by time, he and his wife, she got pregnant again. And now when I got around him, I noticed a different thing. It's called fear. And I addressed it in his life. I walk up to him. I said, I noticed something about you, son. First time I've ever noticed it. I see fears taxing you. He said, I'm not accustomed to losing. I said, you didn't lose. You obeyed. Now there's a difference. How are you going to see it any other way? You going to live in regrets in the past? Or are you going to look at it like somebody's governing your life that understands the way you need to go? What are you going to do? My decision in life is to believe that my life is in God's hands. And anything that comes my way, like it or not, I walk with Him. And I enjoy it. And so, fullness of time comes. She has another boy. It's awesome. Good kid. Healthy kid. For a year. And then a few months ago, I get a phone call. Moses' son. Now, I'm talking destiny here. If I allow these people to live in fear, If I allow them to live in regret, the following battle will have greater power. Many of you sitting here live in regret. A time, a season that you made a bad decision and it caused events in your life to unfold that have gone negative or sideways, whatever you use. Look at me. We all do that. I'm sorry it did happen to you. Leave it alone. And starting today, we leave it back there. We're not going to look back at it. We're going to look forward to Jesus and to the future that He has for us, and we're going to make better decisions. That's what we're going to do.